Turn with me to the New Testament book of Luke.
Bless you, Lord.
I guess I maybe I do this right and maybe I do it wrong. I don't really know, but I usually try to listen to what the Lord has for me for whatever's next, whether it's Wednesday night or Friday night at the prison or Sunday school or preaching Sunday morning or Sunday night or Tuesday at the prison. So hadn't preached anywhere since Sunday night. So sometime or another, I can't remember Sunday or Monday. I've been carrying this burden here, so maybe I can get it preached off. If I can't, well, we'll preach it some more. Amen.
Amen.
I want to be more pleasing to the Lord than you. Yeah, that's all right, ain't it?
That's right.
And right. So, and you know, I wonder maybe if I were to settle down a little bit and not say so many words, but whatever I say, may they be penetrating words.
Yes.
Would that be all right, too?
Yeah. Yes,
yeah, maybe not so many words, but whatever the words are, maybe. And I can't penetrate you. Of course, I know that. And I ain't saying that my words are going to penetrate you. Some people might not even particularly like the way I talk, you know. So it's not necessarily me or how I go about doing it or, you know, but if it's the Lord, amen, if he'll dig deep and speak to you and help you and so forth and all, and I don't have a good orderly outline. I'd like to have something like that. One reason, because if it's a good orderly outline, you know, the Lord lays it on your heart again another time, why, that part's over with, unless you just want to re-outline it to refresh your memory and so forth. So I don't feel like I got a good orderly outline either.
No problem.
But I do, and I basically just got one thought, one bit of a piece of something or other. And if the Lord would see fit to use this, wasn't it that girl said in Wales in 1904 or whenever it was, she stood up and she said, "I love the Lord Jesus Christ," and the meeting was on. You know, so I don't know what the Lord, what did he use in your heart and life? What did he say to you? I don't know. But so anyway, I'm not going to worry about the time. So if I get, probably you're going to have plenty of time, I'd say, Brother Brandon. So if you need to cram, you better get to cramming, amen. But and it's not because I don't have plenty to say about this, and there's not plenty in the Bible, but oh, I just want the Lord to speak to somebody, and I want somebody to be saved.
Amen.
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 There's those of you that come and seek the Lord, and I know that you're not saved and all, and I want the Lord to save you.
Amen.
I do. I want the Lord to save you.
Amen.
And don't make no, and I know that you're not, but don't make no kind of false moves because of me. But, you know, if the Lord speaks to you, say, how are you going to know that? I can tell you how it is in me with me, but I ain't going to do that. That's going to be between you and the Lord, amen. But if you got your Bible now, in the book of Luke, in chapter number 14, I don't think I even told you what chapter. Luke chapter number 14, and begin reading in verse number 25. Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? And there's the message right there. Counteth the cost. Will he be sufficient to finish? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
Right.
Or what king, going to make war against another king, setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000?
Right.
Or else, while the other is yet great way off, he sendeth ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath,
right,
he cannot be my disciple.
Right.
Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd give ears to hear and speak. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Bless you,
Lord.
Counting the cost. Have you counted the cost? Have you?
Yes.
And here's the message right here. What is the cost of discipleship? Everything. What is the cost of not becoming a disciple? Everything.
That's right. That's right.
I guess we've all heard this term, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Well, in this particular case, you're damned if you don't.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, if I got to give up everything, do I have to give up everything? And I ain't pulling any punches, and I ain't making any, I ain't propping up, and the Lord don't need any help, and the answer is yes.
Right, right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do I have to give up everything?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He said, wait a minute, my boy, not pulling no punches, backing up none. Now, what yes is to one might not be the same it is to the other, and I ain't backing up on that. I'm just saying the Lord knows every spot in a person's heart and life, and he knows I don't. He knows exactly where to put his finger, and you know what it is. You know those reservations. You know what's holding you back, and if not, I hope that he puts his finger on what that is now.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
To look at the text right here, and that's the message I just gave it to you, so I can sit down and be quiet. But to look at the text here a while, let me ask you preachers a question. And you don't necessarily have to feed back, but I'm asking us all, but what would you think that the average preacher would say to a great multitude? Whenever Joel Osteen preaches, and I haven't looked at him very often, I have been, you know, when they first heard his name start kicking around in the negative, different places, I'm running through the channels, which I don't do a whole lot because I don't have time. It's always something to do, amen? But that's all right because I'm a doing person, so, you know. But anyhow, and so, but what have you saw when he preaches to those people? He'll preach to more people in one night than I'll preach to in a year. You know, I don't know how many years. So he's, to me, he's got a great multitude. Now, what do you think he preaches to his great multitude? You think he tells them this right here?
No.
What about the Pope? They come and hear him, you know, and everything. You think he's going to say this to them?
No.
You know?
No.
So, you know, and you and me, I ask myself, if I had a great multitude, you know, what would I say to them? I tell you, humanly speaking, and where I am with my walk with the Lord, I feel like I need to preach the saving gospel of Christ. The necessity of what he did to save us and our responsibility. And a fellow by the name of Moody, his last name is Moody, and I don't mean D.L. Moody. I can't remember his given name. But he said, there's no conditions on salvation that is purely by grace. And that's true. But I'd say that I'd preach the gospel to a great multitude, and I'd put the conditions on them that the Bible puts upon them, and that is repentance and faith, and only God can grant the repentance and the faith.
That's right.
So it's still by grace.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep. J.M., was that his name? J.M. Moody? Anyway, I think that was his name. I got a book by him, Grace. But anyhow, so if I had the opportunity to preach to a great multitude, what would I say? What would the average preacher say to a great multitude? Here the Lord is speaking to a great multitude. The way it looks like here, he's a walking along, and he's got this great multitudes that are following him, and he turns. He turns and he says to them. And there was great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot. He's unable. He cannot be my disciple. Verse number 26, do we hate? 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth knoweth God. That ain't how it goes. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. That's the only way I can quote them two verses. Okay.
That's all right.
Whenever I had to stay in during recess one time in the sixth grade and write off Australia. And the only way I learned to spell it was, I was a goofy little old boy. I still like cutting up and carrying on, you know, and I do most of that with my wife. She's real used to it and all. But anyway, and I learned to spell Australia by saying, A-U-S-T-R-U-L-I-A-Hey-Hey. So, you know, at least still remembered, amen. I had to write it off, goofing around, writing it off. I still remember it. So anyhow. So are we called upon to hate my daddy? Am I called upon to hate my mama? My wife, I'm to hate? I'm asking. My boy, my grandchildren, four little girls, first ones in kindergarten. went in the other night, and there's John sitting over there helping her with her homework. I thought, boy, that's good. Amen. Better him than me. Amen. But that's good. You know, and I'm to hate my grandchildren, my mama, my daddy's gone on, my mother. Only one left, you know, of my childhood. All my grandparents are gone. Daddy's gone. My mama's on, my brother and my mother. And the only ones left of my childhood that and she knows everything, you know, as far as anybody can know. And so, and I'm to hate her. Well, let me show you something other in Matthew 10:37. Matthew 10:37, the Bible said, and he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So when he's saying over here in this particular gospel in Luke chapter number 14 that you got to hate them, it's saying if you love them more than him.
That's right.
So it's not that we've got to hate, you got to hate your daddy. You got to hate your grandpa. Okay? You got to hate your wife. You know, the wife of your youth. Got to hate her. No. He said, if you love her, is if you love him, is if you love them.
That's right.
More than we love him.
That's right. Amen.
Then we cannot be his disciple.
Right.
Humanly speaking, why in the world would anybody love Jesus anyway? Anybody here ever seen him? Humanly speaking, why would we have any love for God at all? Anybody here ever seen him? He ever walked up to you? He ever talked to you like I'm talking to you? You ever met him like meeting another person and this and that? So how do we know there is, even is a Jesus? How do we know there even is a God and we're supposed to love him? Well, the Lord mingled around these people.
Right.
And they could look at him and associate somebody with who, by looking at him and hearing him and seeing him, they could associate them with, you and I, we can't associate like that. We've never seen him in this net. But I'm going to tell you something other right now. The Lord said, if I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter.
Right.
And he said that he would come and make our, my Father, we're going to come and make our abode with you. And he is here, and he's just as real as he was back then. And everybody in this room that's saved loves God. Everybody in this room that's saved, God loves you. And I'm going to stick my neck out a little bit, and I'm going to say, everybody in this room, God loves you.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
And if you don't know him, and you got any desires for him at all, he's the one who put them there. See? And whenever you get to the place, wherever that is, and I'm going to leave this between you and God. I'm just going to preach it. Not you trying to do it, but when God brings you to this place. And I'm going to tell you something in this place of love. Initially, now, I didn't know a whole lot about God whenever the Lord saved me. I mean, all those ingredients, when Brother Tim, I think, whoever it was last night, was talking about all those ingredients have to be there, and there was some, it is there, just like that. I'd been brought up, and I'd heard a little bit, and this and that and so forth, but when it comes, you know, about conviction, it was there. The drawing, it was there. The repentance, it was there. And I couldn't even tell you what that was whenever the Lord saved me, but when I got to looking at the Bible, I thought, wow. All those ingredients, they were there.
Yes,
amen. And this and that. And the only reason I brought that up is to say this, that this love affair with God's going to grow.
Right.
Now, I love my wife differently now than I did 29. I'm right on that, ain't I?
You better be.
Okay. Years ago, it's different. And so the men folk understand that, and the women folk, whatever it was you thought about 29 years ago, 35 years ago, 5 years ago, 9 years, whatever it was, it's different, okay? You know? And so therefore, this love's going to grow. So I'm not telling you, you got to have all, you got to muster up this love. You got to muster up this hate. God is the one who introduces himself to you. God is the one who introduces you to you. See? And so therefore then, when God gets to pressing on you, and you start reacting to God pressing on you, see, and he starts working in you, and he's going to bring these things up and put his finger on these different points, and you say, well, I'm not willing to give that up right there, then go to hell with it. If there's something you're not willing to, if there's something you love and embrace and treasure more than you do love and embracing and treasuring him, and you want to hold on to that, let me give you some good advice. If it's your eye, why don't you pluck it out? If it's your hand, why don't you cut it off? If it's your foot, why don't you cut it off? It'd be better to lose that, would it not? And go to be with him than to carry that to the grave and into hell.
Right, right.
See?
Right.
So when he's talking about hating here, it's not that we've got to go around hating. Oh, I just hate them boys on the front row, but I love the Lord. No. It's that I love those boys on the front row, but I love the Lord more. Amen. And I love him enough to obey him and to tell them the truth in love.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the thing of it right there. So no matter what it is then and so forth that God puts his finger on that we embrace and treasure and hope. And I can name a number of things.
Sure.
And I might leave out something that God says, that you might say, well, I'm off the hook. He didn't say anything about that. Well, has God said anything about it? Has God said anything about it? Really, you know, and I tell you what a lot of this right here is. Some people think, well, you know, if I were to sell out and give up and just say, Lord, I'm throwing up the white flag, you can have it all, but I'm not willing to go to Africa. Well, you know, it's not that God's going to send you to Africa. He might bless you and send you to Africa. They speak English over there anyway, don't they? I hope they would, amen. Imagine me trying to learn another language and I don't even have the English language memorized, amen. All them English rules, who can me? Well, I think just one person got them all memorized anyway. But anyhow, see, she does. Yeah. But you know, God might bless you and call you to Africa, amen. He might scare you half to death and cause you leads you to go across the road to somebody too.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, no, not them over there. They drug addicts. Yeah. God can save the vilest. Amen.
That's exactly right.
Hate. What is hate? Well, loving him more than anything else doesn't necessarily mean that we hate everything else, but in comparison, it might look that way because of our love for him. Verse number 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross.
Right.
Let me say this first of all. What is our attitude about others? Father, mother, brother, sister, children, mate. I like the word mate better than I do the word spouse. But anyway, sounds like mouse. But anyway, verse number 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What's your attitude about others? You love him more than you do others. What's your attitude about yourself? Now, right there is where we got a problem, isn't it? That's where I got my problem. I think a lot of me, myself, and I. Amen? I mean, you know, and so you want to try to promote good health and good posture and you know, and provide for yourself and all, and want to, you know, I ain't got the money to spend all that, put some hair transplant, amen, do the best you can with it, you know, what you got, and this and that, and so forth, and all, And so we protect ourselves. And, you know, if somebody were to try something, I'm going to be honest with you, somebody were to take a, you know, poke at you and so forth, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, this. All right. So what do I think about myself? Whenever he talked about here, whenever he talked about this thing in verse number 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Bearing the cross. To be a disciple is to bear a cross. Yep. To bear the cross is to die to self. Mm-hmm. I ain't pulling back, pulling no punches on that. You said, Brother Al, let me say this too. Then don't let me forget where I am, because it's just come to me. And I told you, I don't have anything in an orderly way, so it's just here and there as it comes to my mind. Here it is. Is this, don't anybody say anything. Just everybody be real quiet a minute. I just want everybody to think. Is this passage talking to his disciples about them getting closer to him? Well, who is it the Bible said he turned and talked to? Great multitudes. Now, would you think that everybody in that great multitude were truly born again? You say, well, when he's talking about discipleship and bearing the cross, he's talking to saved people. This right here, he's talking to great multitudes. What would you preach to a great multitude? You know, basically, what he's saying to them, if you're not willing to leave everything that you have, fishing, tax collecting, prostitution, farming, whatever it is. If you're not willing to lay it out and forget about it and follow me around and just trust me like those disciples, those 12 were doing, if you're not willing to leave all that behind and follow me, then you're not worthy of me, see? So he's not talking here to save people, trying to get them to, you know, make Jesus Lord. He's not doing that at all.
Right.
I tell you what he's telling to him. He's telling him, if you really following after me and want to be mine and want to wind up being with me where I'm going to be, here's what it's going to take. He's not talking, my friend, to save people exclusively. Although in the Word of God, he does talk to the disciples about discipleship, because the Christian life is an ongoing thing, and we need to be rebroken. We need to re-examine. We need to be rebroken. We need to be re-tenderized. We need to be renewed. The renewing of our mind, renewing daily. But here when he's talking to this vast multitude, brother, he's laying it out to them. And I'm going to lay it out to you.
Amen.
If you're here and you're saved, or you're here and you're not saved, I don't care who you are. You hearing me, you seeing this on the CD someday, or you're hearing this on the CD, you're going to see this on the DVD someday,
right.
Whether you're saved or lost. If you're not willing, my friend, to die to yourself, if I'm not willing to die to myself about whatever it is God puts his finger on. If you're not willing to die to yourself, if you're not willing to pick up the cross and repenting of everything that he puts his finger on, turning from it, embracing him, you can forget it. So is that something that's holding you back? Well, I just ain't willing to give whatever it is up. And I can't help it. It comes to my mind, and I don't mean to be hateful. But if whatever it is that you can't give up, then go to hell with it. You say, you don't offer much alternative. Tell me here, did the Lord offer any alternative?
Oh, sir.
What you going to cost for discipleship? Going to cost you everything.
That's right.
Let me ask you another question. If you don't sell out and pick up the cross and follow him, what is it going to cost you?
Everything.
How much it cost you to get here? Compare that to eternity and the joys of heaven. See? How much do you own? What would it cost you, my friend, to sell out? And I mean to sell out everything. I mean, you want him and you're going to him, and in your heart and mind, he's pulling you, he's drawing you, and in your heart and mind, Lord, I give it all. What is he going to require of you to lay aside? Are you willing to lay that aside? And the attitude it should be, my friend, and it's not necessarily an adventurous attitude that you need, but it is God working in your attitude, and the thing to do is just give it all up to him and let him sort it out what it is you need to drop off. But I don't neglect this thought of you counting the cost. You need to count the cost because it is going to cost you. It's going to cost you, and you need to count it. And here's get a hold of this too. I ain't trying to drive anybody off.
That's right.
I don't mean to try. If you've been coming and you're open-minded and this and that, and this is going to bring you to a place where you'd say, well, I'm not willing, and then say, well, when Brother Al got through preaching that particular, then people quit coming. I don't think he should have. Well, now, I don't mean to drive anybody off, but if whatever it is the Lord's putting his finger on and you're not willing, and you're counting the cost and you're not willing to repent of it, then you can forget it.
That's right. Right.
Well, if I can need to forget it, I'm just going to quit seeking. If you can quit, quit. If you can quit, quit. But let me ask you a question. If you can't quit, why is it you can't quit? And if you can't quit, my friend, and God is putting his finger, and if God is putting his finger on it right here this morning, and you more willing to embrace and hang on to that, I hope that I don't see you at the great white throne and you over there and you're looking at me and saying, why did I not? And I'm saying, I wish you would had.
Right, right.
Why don't you repeat it? Why don't you embrace Christ as Lord? That's what it's going to cost. But what's it going to cost if you don't? Verse number 28, it gives this illustration down through here. Let me read it. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, right, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You ever seen a building like that? Maybe they got the foundation started, and maybe all they got up was just them two befores around the corners and some string. And now the two befores is bowed and all gray, and the string's all done rotted, and grass and weeds all up around it and everything. Or maybe they got it on up a little bit, you know, and so forth, and got the lathing on it and all, and then, you know, they quit, and now it's all bowed and twisted and things like that, you know, and you think, wonder what happened there, you know. Wonder what happened there. What about a king? He's got 10,000. Here's another king he wants to try to defeat. They got 20. He says, now how can we, what kind of maneuvers can we make? We need to count this. We need to consult with each other about this town to see if we can take him or not. Or whether we just need to try to make peace and knuckle under and this and that. So what is he saying there then? So likewise also, verse 33, talked about the king previously. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple.
Right.
You ever known of somebody that started out like this building thing, you know? Boy, they had good intentions, but they couldn't finish it. You ever know somebody that started out and looked like, you know, they was doing pretty good, but they just didn't finish? Let me show you something in Luke chapter number 8, verse number 11. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11. Now the parable is this: seeds the word of God, those by the wayside are they who hear, then cometh the devil, taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Man, yes, yeah, I embrace that. I want that, yes, yes. And these have no root, which for a while believe. And in time of temptation, fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection.
Right.
What you talking about right there? You're talking about those that's like starting a building.
Right.
Like, boy, they got plans and got, you know, ambitions. Like the over there, you don't know anything about it. I probably don't even need to bring it up, but you might be able to think of something you saw like that. In Lexington, that's where we get our news from. Lexington, Kentucky. And I tell my wife, I say, well, let's see what the latest lowdown of the lowdowns is in Lexington, amen. You know, who killed who and who cut this one and what dogs they're trying to rescue and all this, you know. You know how it is, you know. But they got a building over there. They tried to start this here underground carport and a car shed there, somewhere right there in town in Lexington, Kentucky, and this and that. And Center Point Project, they call it. And the fella, they got out there and got blown up the ground and got it all blowed out. Now they got a big hole in the ground and just, I don't know why they couldn't finish it and all. Been sitting there for months. They get on the news every now and then, you know, they finally found some big money people to come along and do something with it, hopefully now, you know. That's how it's been going on. So they started the thing, and all, and it's just a big hole sitting around in the ground, see. Had ambitions, great plans and this and that. Start something like that, you know. Think what it is for a king to go up against another king. They hadn't counted the cost, made proper preparations, and they're out there in the war and they get defeated. What else is there left other than just, you know, giving up and giving over to them? And then they take the spoils and whatever's left and this and that. And that's what he's talking about. And he's saying that those that start without counting the cost are like this, verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, don't help the ground any, nor yet for the dunghill, don't make good fertilizer. But you know what? Men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And those that start in the Christian, they hear something that they like about it. Something that's appealing about it and this and that. And so forth, and they embrace it. And they're going along pretty good. But when the Lord starts putting his finger on something or things happen that's going to happen to all of us, I don't care whether you're saved or lost,
right.
Things happen.
Yes, sir.
Things out of our control. Listen, if the Lord doesn't come back first, you're going to die.
Right. Right.
And probably going to be sick with something.
Yeah.
Amen? And if you get hit by a Mack truck, you know, or fall out of a deer stand, you know, or whatever it is, you know, we're going to die someday.
Right.
So bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. And when that happened to those that have a wrong mentality about, maybe they went into it thinking God would pay all their bills and supply everything, and they'd have Cadillacs and condos, you know, and they don't really know it, but they're part of the cargo cult. Amen. You know, if you want Christ, he'll, like one group came in over at the prison one time, told the inmates, if you come up here and let us lay hands on you and get the Holy Ghost, God will get you out of here quicker. Bunch of liars.
Yeah.
What they are, just a bunch of liars.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
You might not make shock. You say, what's that? That's getting out early, okay? You might not make SAP. What's that? That's substance abuse program. You might not make, you might do all your time. Amen.
Right.
And listen, things happen. Good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Good things happen to bad people. Amen. I mean, so in our life down here, then, if one is not genuinely born again, when things happen and they feel like they're getting the short end of the stick, and they think, well, if that's what you get for serving God, I'm going to quit. And I wonder, we got a man there in the church and so forth. I'm pastoring now this great church in Nancy, Kentucky, which Nancy probably got about 300 people. Great metropolis of Nancy, Kentucky. And this great church we got to count my wife, with biggest crowds on Wednesday night, we got 10 people. Amen. Great crowds. But anyway, we got this one man in the church right there, and he told me, he said, Brother, we all need to be faithful here. He said, it's going to get bad. And whenever it falls in and everything, people are going to start turning to the Lord and turning to the churches. Yeah, but what about when it starts getting bad? When they start coming and saying, all right, okay,
yeah,
here we are now. You ready? Here we go. Let me give you some little scenarios. Here's some things I'm looking at. Okay. We take this PREA training in these prisons. It's this thing about sexual perversion and things like that and all. They're not telling us that we can't preach against it yet. They're just telling us to be watch out for it, you know, not to try to take up with inmates. And I don't see why anybody want to take up sexually with another man, but anyway, let that be as it may. And we go to
amen.
So here we are with this here thing now of we got it's with the men can marry men, women can marry women and things like that and all that kind of rigmarole, bunch of, you know, stupid stuff. An ignorant mess,
yeah.
and perverted lifestyle.
Right.
Okay. All right. So, what are the chaplains that are paid by the state or the federal government, whether it be a federal prison or a state prison, what are they going to do whenever two of those inmates that are homosexuals come to them and say, "We want to get married. I want you to marry us." And since we're married, you know, we really need two bunks together. And if we could sort of have, you know, maybe a room off to ourselves, you know, because we're married, we want to get married. All the chaplains I've talked to so far, and we've all talked about this, they bring it up or I say something. All the ones I've talked to so far about it, I haven't talked to all of them. Some of them probably going to do it. But all the ones I've talked to say when that happens, they can get somebody else to do it. Okay? It's going to happen. You watch and
that's
see.
Right.
Whenever they start, like they're doing now in Rowan County, Moorhead,
yeah.
Moorhead State University, amen. You think it's a strong fundamentalist school? I'd say it's run by a bunch of liberals that I don't know, okay? It's a college town. They're not, Casey Davis in Casey County, Kentucky, he said, I'm not issuing any licenses. So far, I don't think anybody sued him. Moorhead, in Rowan County, Kim Davis, the court clerk over there, she's not issuing any license. She's been sued by some people, and the ACLU's come along and took that case now, and they're not just getting her to try to do it. They're taking her to take everything she has. So to sort of ensure if they do, I guess, I'm guessing, to sort of ensure that if they do sue her and take everything she's got and she's penniless, she's suing the governor, Steve Beshears, for not standing up for her. But when it comes down then, okay, discipleship, bearing our cross, when it comes down to them saying to me, okay, here's some new training and the new rules have come out to the prisons now. You can't speak out against sodomy. Okay, I'll tell you that. I'll do the same thing with that I did back years ago. Only one chaplain, I know not where he is now, in a federal prison in Pine Knot, Kentucky. He says, well, now you really can't come in here and tell these inmates they're going to go to hell now. That went in one ear and out the other. I thought, you do what you're going to do, and I'm going to serve God. Amen. I don't know where he is.
Amen.
You see where I am. And I ain't bragging on myself. And Lord, please protect me now, for I'm nothing. And when it comes then to this training and to say, all right, now you can't be coming in here and preaching against homosexuality no more because, you know, that's hate crime, hate speech. We're not going to have that and so forth. But that's going to go in one ear and out the other. Whenever that comes about and they say to me, now, you're not supposed to be doing this now. And if you keep on doing this, you can't come back. I'm just going to say to them then, well, you got something you want to say to them? Because it looks like I'm through. Amen?
Yeah.
That's not so bad there, you know.
Come on.
But when they start coming to your churches,
yeah. Come on.
Well, we like this building, whether they do or not. It makes some pretty pictures in here and all, and we want you to marry us. Me and my boyfriend, we love each other. Call that lust. Yeah. Me and my girlfriend, we love each other. Lust. Yeah. We want you to marry us in this building and so forth. Well, no, we can't do that. We don't do that. And I want to tell you right now, you can say, well, it's in our Constitution and bylaws that we only marry church members. Now, hopefully that's going to get us by a while. Amen. Hopefully that's going to get us. Then, okay, all right, then we just want to become church members then. Okay, well, you got to be saved. Well, we saved. We saved and so forth. Well, you got to be baptized into the church and be a church member.
Right.
Where have you been baptized? You know, and so we're willing to do that. Well, you know, but y'all live in it. Okay, so that's the problem, huh? So yeah, and so now you're practicing hate speech. So we're just gonna sue you. So they start sitting, and they take everything you got. Where you gonna meet? They find out where you're meeting. They find out where you're meeting at, then and so forth. Then they find you. Maybe you're not zoned to meet there.
Yeah.
They start finding you. They start putting somebody to find you. Then they start taking maybe the parsonage unit, but you got your own home, and they start coming after your house.
Yeah. It's coming.
See? I'm not painting a very pretty picture. I know I'm not, but I am trying to be real.
Yes,
now, when
sir.
You say, what are you talking about all this? Because when it comes right down to it, what are we willing to do to bear that cross? Are we willing to die?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm just going to say, Lord, give me grace. And right now, in the way I'm thinking, I'm willing. When you start getting into that heat and getting on the television and your name, and I mean people marching out, and you can't go to sleep and rest at night because people out there hooping and hollering and protesting and signs and all that stuff, and news media start jumping on this stuff, you know. And whenever it gets to the place where they do us like they did back in Nero's days, well, I tell you who burned Rome, it's them old Christians.
That's right.
That's who it was. You know, they just blame them for anything comes along.
Yep.
See?
Yep. That's right.
All right, that's a pretty bleak picture. That's not something, but let me ask you a question. If you and I that are born again, genuinely saved, what are we going to be called upon to do? See, what are we going to be called upon to do? And inside of me, I feel like that's not fair. These previous preachers in our country didn't have to do that. But then you think back to those early people like Leland, what was his name? Obadiah Holmes, they whipped him, and he got through whipping him. He couldn't sleep on his back for several weeks. He said, I felt like I was being whipped with roses. And that Leland, not John Leland, he preached through the bars, and he held his hands like up, preaching through the bars, and they'd come by and cut his hands and so forth and all with a knife. Finally, they built a wall up there where he couldn't see it. He'd preach anyway. Amen. You know, we right now it's not popular to do Baptist preachers that way. Okay? So we've had a time of liberty, and oh, what we've done with it. I mean, as far as preaching and getting out the Word of God and churches being started and missionaries going out and this and that. But I'm going to tell you something. It's like Brother Justin said last night, we under judgment.
That's right. Right, preacher.
All this crazy weather. Amen. And there's no way to explain what's going on up in Washington. They're a bunch of ignoramuses. They've lost it. Truth, when you rebel against truth, then God withholds truth. That's what they want truth. They rebel against truth. They don't want it, so therefore they just can't see. They don't understand. They're stupid. Amen? Yes. It makes no common sense at all what's going on. The greatest document that the country has is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And if we would just take this King James Bible and let the churches alone and let the people preach it and obey it, and if all the politicians would take those Constitution and Bill of Rights and go by them exactly right, we'd still be strong.
Right, right.
But people, my friend, for sex and convenience and the love of money and things like that and all, we've murdered babies in the murder mills.
Yep. Amen.
People said, well, we fought the Civil War. They said, well, we don't care about states' rights. We want y'all to buckle under. So they come down here and fought us and so forth and took over and all. Amen. Well, Now we are the United States, and the federal government rules it all. How you like it? Go back to states' rights, amen. Come too far to go back to that. We've got people here in our down south. They wouldn't know what a carpetbagger and a scallywag was. Amen. Don't know anything about the history. They want to dig up the bones of Nathan Bedford Forrest over in Memphis. I said, let me have him. We'll honor him on our property. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I can't help it. I went to Nathan Bedford Forrest School in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. So, and I remember seeing his picture. They had a uniform, whether it was his or not, I don't know, gray uniform hanging there. They still fly the Confederate flag over a monument there that I know of. I hadn't been there for several months now, but as far as I know, it's still there and all. So, but the federal government and the things that's going right, So they look at us as being Bible-believing, practicing Christians as being part of the problem. And we need to silence them. And this thing, I'm going to get off of this, but this thing about sodomy, when you start attacking the first institution that God started, and that is the home, when the home goes, you can forget the rest of it. If the home's in this church not wanting to do right and so forth, you're not going to have much of a church.
That's
amen?
Right. Yep. That's right. It's home. Amen.
Yep.
That's where we are.
Yep. Yep. Right, preacher.
Yep.
But where am I in all of this scenario? Where are you in all this stuff, boys, ladies, church workers, travelers, pilgrims, and sojourners?
Yeah.
Where are you at in all of this? Are you a disciple? What are you willing to forsake? What have you forsaken? What are you willing to give up? What in all of this stuff, what has God put his finger on? That you're not willing, that you embrace it, you'd rather have. What is it? And whatever that is, you're going to have to get beyond that. Yeah. If you really want him, you're going to have to be willing to forsake whatever it is and all of whatever that he, not me, but he has put his, the very spot. There's a speck right there.
Right.
He put his finger on.
That's right.
And if you're not willing to comply with him and get beyond that, and I ain't being hateful.
No.
And I'm not being unkind.
You're right.
But God will let you go to hell with that, and he won't lose a minute of sleep over it. And theologically speaking, God doesn't need to sleep because God don't get tired.
Right.
But I just used that to say in a human way, when he turned and looked at that multitude, they could take it or leave it, like it or lump it.
Right.
You say, well, but in telling them the truth, though, see, he showed love.
Sure.
He told them the truth.
That's right.
And he did that in love. Amen.
Yeah.
And so therefore then,
yeah.
So
amen.
We see that. There's a lot more I could say about this, but I felt like while I was down there, right in through there, that I was through. So I'm going to leave it with you. Let me say this, what come to mind. I told you I don't really have an orderly outline, but I'm going to show you something else here. In this passage that we read from verses 25 to 35, I'm going to point this out to you. And there went great multitudes with him, and he, verse 26, if any man come to me, latter part of verse number 26, cannot be my disciple. See what I'm emphasizing? Verse number 27, whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me, and cannot be my disciple. Verse number 33, he cannot be my disciple. I think I'm right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 times in these verses from verse 25 to 35, he makes reference to himself. He, my, you know, they followed with him. Multitude followed him. He turned, cannot be my. Me, come after me. About him, referring to himself, in this passage, you got 7 mentions of him.
Right.
The number of completion, the number of perfection. It's all about him.
Exactly right.
The Christian life is all about him.
Right.
What do you want? What is pleasing to you? And in this Christian life, don't put your convictions that are gray areas, maybe we could use that, on me. Let me practice soul liberty between me and God. Okay. He said, well, you worldly. What do you mean by that? Well, look at them buckles. Well, I ain't got one of them big ones on now, oh, do I? You know, you worldly and so forth. No. Okay. All right. Well, how about you let me, between me and God, if he puts his finger on something other or don't, how about you let me walk with him that way, and I'll let you do the same, okay? And all, when it comes to those gray areas, because it's all about him.
Right.
And it's not how far I can get to the edge and still be, but it's how far I can go. It's me with him, and it's him leading me. And whatever he puts his finger on, then I'm to turn from as a lost person or a saved person. Because he said, and I'm trying to quit, but he said over here in another passage dealing with this same thing here, and I'm not sure if I can just dig it out real quick, but I'm going to take a stab at it. Let's try Luke 9:23. I don't think that's it. Luke, okay, maybe I didn't go over far enough. Luke 9:23, that's it. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. And the word I'm looking at is daily, and follow me. Because it's here, it's most certainly talking about believers. Because when we come to him, we're willing to forsake all. We want him more than anything else. We want him to save us. We're dying to self, we're picking up the cross, and we're picking it up daily. Because it's all about him.
Amen.
So it's daily, moment by moment, dying to self.
Right.
Because he's number one.
Sure.
And the passage in Luke, 7 references is made to him, me, my.
And so therefore then, it's all about him. In those Revelation chapter 2 and 3, those seven churches, they're the lamp, they're the light. And whenever the church is lit up like it should be, you know what's seen the best? Christ. He's in the midst.
Yeah. Right.
So it's all about him.
Exactly right.
Do you want him more than you want this?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to read this and leave it with you. What is the cause of discipleship? Everything. What is the cost of not becoming a disciple? Everything you hold dear and die and go to hell, you have no more. Everything and whatever it is, the one thing you hold so dear right now, if you'd be willing to turn from it, if you'd fall on that rock, let him grind and break you.
Right.
Instead of that rock falling on you and grinding you to powder.
Right.
Powder. If you'd be willing, my friend, to fall on that rock and let him break you, he'll give you the life that really you're looking for anyway.
Amen.
Because it's in him. And when you in him, he satisfies you.
Right.
And whatever you give up, you'll say, I don't know what helped me back anyway. It wasn't anything. What held me back anyway? You, devil, amen?
Yeah.
Excuses, selfishness, this and that. So whatever it is that you're willing to turn from because you want him,
uh-huh,
and you want him, being in him, he's going to satisfy you.
Right.
Now, can you trust him that much? If you can trust him that much, then it sounds like you got the faith of the Son of God. And the faith of the Son of God by grace is the faith of the Son of God he justifies you with. And when you justified, God drops all charges. And now he pictures you as Christ with the very righteousness of Jesus Christ put to your account. So whatever it takes to satisfy a believer on this earth while he's got us down here, he's well able to do it.
Amen.
Now my question to you is, what is in the way? But let me leave you with this. You need to count the cost.
Sure thing. Sure thing.
And if you say it's too great, I'm just going to get out. Well, I wish you wouldn't. And don't think bad of me if somebody does decide to bail. Please, but I don't want you to.
Right, right.
But you need to count the cost.
Yes, sir.
Count it. Heavenly Father, I've preached what you told me to, and I leave it to you. Please work now as only you can in Christ's name. Amen.